A beautiful woman and a curse for eternity. This is the story of La Ciguanaba. Stories, folklore, legends, leyendas, cuentos y más. This is Spooky Tales. Listen, escuchen at your own risk. Hi, this is Christina.
And this is MJ.
And this is Spooky Tales. We're a podcast about Latinx folklore, horror, and more. Just wanted to share before we get started why this podcast was started, because I was looking for more horror ones. And I was like, wow, this is all about white people and I'm sick of it.
And
more about La Llorona, not La Llorona.
I've heard La Llorona. I was like, Jesus.
That's bad.
It's terrible. And two, like, I feel like we're so overlooked as a culture. Like, it's always like three things. It's La Llorona, El Chupacabras, and Los Duendes, and that's it. I'm like, there's so much more that expands, a lot of countries. And a lot of them are regional to only some towns. And they're not explored. They're not shared.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Before we get started, what is your relationship with like spooky stuff and ghosts? Do you like believe in it or?
I've had weird experiences, so I can't be like, no. Weird stuff happens around me all the time. It freaks Andrew and the kids out. Actually, not too long ago, we were sleeping and the curtains, by the way, we have these tall curtains that are blocked by our library, so the kids can't get to it. Plus, at the top of that, it's like 2 o'clock at night. And it sounded like somebody smacked them. I'm talking about they're moving. The window's closed because it's cold. And they're moving frantically and with such a loud sound. You turn on the lights, they're not moving. And we were freaked out because in the shadows, you could see like the blinds opening, you know, and allowing light from the outside come in. But the moment you turn on the light, they're not moving. It was like a total trip. And I think we slept the rest of the night with the lights on. It was terrifying. But like this stuff happens around me all the time. We live in an apartment and you hear a little pitter patter. In the kitchen, you hear little kids laughing. Whenever my niece and nephew come together with, you know, my kids, there's like this energy of children. And for like a few days later, you hear somebody playing with the toys. So what I've learned to do is just, you know, take out the batteries of all the electronic toys, you know, like the ones that Tickle Me Elmo or stuff. We had one that would go off all the time. I was like, nope, you're going somewhere else. I'm putting you in storage. But stuff like that always happens. And I love the stories because it's like, oh, look, you had a similar experience to me. And also we were talking about like the strange dreams that I have about duendes and you too. And that also kind of, you know, got me started into all this because that happened as a child for me.
Oh, that's so scary. Yeah, I like to say, oh, they're not real to like make myself
calm
feel
yourself,
better.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like my mom, my dad, they all say that creepy ass shit has happened to them. And I'm like,
yes, yes. And I've seen my mom and I see shadow people all the time.
So does my brother and them. And me and Carmen never saw anything. I don't
know what it is, but like my grandma, I think it's hereditary at this point. I'm like, my grandma sees it, my mom sees it, and I do too. My son at one point used to see like a lot of stuff. Andrew had a friend who passed away like about 5 years ago, and Evan was like around 3 or 4. And he was like, mommy, look at, there's daddy's friend right next to him. And I was like, oh my God, same week he had just passed away, and he would see him constantly. And you know, Evan had gone at this point maybe a year without seeing, you know, Andrew's friend. And for him to be like, that's him, that's daddy's friend. And I would be like, which one? The one from the picture. And it was like, you know, those pictures, you know, like obituary pictures that you get at funerals. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, like, stop it.
Oh no. That's, yeah, that's scary.
So it happens to everybody in my family. I mean.
Yeah. They always say there's people that have like the don, the gift of like,
yeah,
gift. Cause is it really a gift?
Mm-hmm. It's like not a gift. Like, you guys, I have to sleep with the light on sometimes.
Yeah. But yeah, Carmen and I have never ever seen anything, but my brother and my parents all say, oh yeah, this house, we used to see things all the time. So I think I'm grateful for not having this gift.
Mm-hmm. It's scary. Like, I mean, it's even scarier, like, when you have kids that have the exact same thing, because it's like, okay, now I know I don't tell you stories. So where are you getting this from?
Right. Yeah.
It's creepy. And yeah, that's pretty much why I'm into it, because I've experienced this kind of stuff my entire life. I don't know. It makes me feel like these stories from other people make me feel like I'm not crazy.
Yeah. And our first thing we're going to be talking about is La Ciguanaba. She's more like Central American, I would say, because my mom had not heard of her. My mom's from Mexico. She hadn't heard of her before meeting my dad, who's from El Salvador.
I've heard of her because my neighbors were Salvadorian. When I was living in San Francisco, my neighbors were Salvadorian. But I actually heard the name used as an insult, like, mira esa Ciguanaba. Like, knowing now, I'm like, damn, that's messed up.
That horse-faced. Oh, God, that's horrible.
But I didn't know what the story was until I researched this. So,
yeah. You want to kick us off with the story?
Okay, so La Ciguanaba or Ciguanaba, Cigua in some countries and Cegua in others, La Ciguanaba is a legend from Central America that is a mixture of both colonial and pre-Hispanic origins. The legend of the Ciguanaba can be heard in El Salvador, Honduras, Costa Rica, Guatemala, Panama, Nicaragua, and Mexico. Each country has its own variation of the story. Originally named Ciguahuet, beautiful woman, was a peasant who had an affair in some origins, a marriage with the son of the god Tlaloc, the Nahuatl prince Yeison. She became pregnant with a son named Cipitio. Yeison left for war, and during this time, Ciguahuet neglected Cipitio and had multiple affairs and lovers while Yeison was gone. After finding out that Ciguahuet was unfaithful and a horrible mother, Yeison's father, the god Tlaloc, became furious with her. The god Tlaloc asked the sun god Huitzilopochtli to help him curse both Cipitio and Ciguahuet. The god Tlaloc cursed Ciguahuet with the name Ciguanaba, or ugly woman. I think that went pretty well.
I agree.
And I give myself props for pronouncing Huitzilopochtli correctly.
Hell yeah, I can't say it.
These are hard names, okay? Like, the Nahuatl language is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
In some versions, Ciguahuet wants the throne all to herself, so she gets a witch to curse Yeison and turn him into a monster. This is what makes Tlaloc furious. In other versions, Cipitio is not Yeison's son, but a son of one of her lovers. Which, you know, looking back, that makes more sense, because we're going to get into Cipitio's story in the next episode. But it makes sense if his paternity was questioned, why he would also be cursed along with his mother.
Yeah.
Like, looking back, I was like, oh.
Yeah, okay. I read that he was El Lucero de la Mañana, Lucifer Morningstar's son, not Yeison, but she was married to Yeison.
Which is weird. Like, there's this, like, mixture of Christianity and Aztec gods, like, just merging together. I saw that too, but I was like, that's weird.
Yeah,
that's
this feels like this version came along after, like, the Spanish.
Yeah, that's why I was like, this is like a mixture of colonial and pre-Hispanic legends. Well, it's bound to happen. Like, that's all Latin America.
Yeah.
Thanks, colonizers.
Thank you. So after she was cursed, she was given the name Ciguanaba, which means ugly woman. and she was cursed to wander the countryside, preying on the, what would you call them, man whores? I don't know, mujeriegos?
Don yeah, Juanes. Like Don Juanes, like the men with the wandering eye, if you
yes,
will.
Yeah. So they would see her often naked or in like some sort of see-through gown, and she would be kind of like, they would see her back and she would be brushing her hair, and they would like be lured by her beauty, but it's the back of her. They can't even see her face, right? And so then when they get close to her, she turns around and it's like this horrible rotting horse face, and the sight of her scares them to death or makes them go crazy.
And yeah, and she also lures children to taking the form of their mother. Because I also saw that she lures the victims into not just like, you know, to scare them, but also into danger, into isolated places like ravines, cliffs, rivers, and lakes to like drown them or make them commit suicide or something.
Oh, yes. So from what I read, in the Guatemala version, she lures people off cliffs, men off cliffs, and then they kill themselves. And then in the Salvadoran version, she lures people, if they don't die, she lures men deeper and deeper into the woods for them to be like lost for the rest of their lives.
I mean, that'd be scary. Like, to be honest, can you imagine like 12 o'clock at midnight in el campo, you know, you only have the moonlight to light your way, if that, and like if it's even a moon that day, and then you see this, oh my God, I'd be like, no, thank you. I don't care how good you look, I'm out.
I would leave, yeah. But maybe that's because we're not men with wandering eyes.
That's true. That's true. We're not fuck boys.
Yeah.
But like also like when looking into that, someone wrote on one of the pages that I was researching that she has kind of like the siren lore, like how she hypnotizes them or I don't know, like puts them in some kind of trance to make them follow her type thing, which I would be like, that would make sense. Like if you're like under some kind of like trance, you're not thinking for yourself. You know, you're going to do what she tells you to.
That's true. You're not just going to leave.
But still.
Yeah.
That just means you were a fuckboy to begin with.
Right. Why were you out at midnight wandering
exactly.
The streets?
What were you doing?
Why aren't you at home?
Yeah. You had no business being out there by yourself.
Should have been home.
But anyways, you know, they're just going to their friend's house. Wink, wink. I'm going to read remember the thing that I texted you that I found her description?
Oh, yes, it's good.
In some stories, they go into further detail saying when she fully reveals herself, she has saggy breasts that go down to her knees. And you can tell she is after you because with each step she takes, her breasts make a clapping sound.
That's bad. She breastfed El Cipitio too long.
She did. You could tell. She wasn't that horrible of a mother.
Right.
She did some good.
At least she nursed him.
That's clearly written by a man, though.
Yeah, she. This whole myth or her. She was written by a man. There's no way.
There's no way. Yeah. There's no way a woman was like sitting down in the fireplace telling her grandchildren this. Oh yeah, and she had that's how you know she comes after you. Or she's hunting you. You hear this clapping sound coming
after you. Yeah.
Like, there's no way.
No.
I was like, when I was like researching this, I was like, what on earth does Christina have been looking into?
I didn't even see that description of her. Like, I read like 5 different articles and nothing mentioned that at all until you showed it to me. And then I looked more and I was like, oh my God. No.
Yeah, like all the artists, like if you look up La Ciguanaba on Google, you'll see these artist renditions. There's many of them. And they all draw her this way, you know, horse face, saggy, very, very saggy breasts.
Oh, I'm going to post these pictures of her as well on our Instagram.
By the way, like viewer discretion is advised because if you have kids.
Don't look at pictures of La Ciguanaba near them.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go into the word origin, and I practiced these words
because
they're indigenous, and they're very hard to say. Well, some of them. It has some origins in Nahuatl words, like the word Cihuatl, meaning woman, Ciguanac or Ciguanac, meaning concubine, in the Quiche Maya, Ciguan, meaning cliff. And that one makes sense because we were talking about in Guatemala, she lures them off cliffs. So that would make sense. In another Guatemalan dialect, Siwanaba just means naked woman. In Mexico, she is associated with the Aztec goddess of death, Mictlacahuatl. Siwanaba takes the role of something similar to a grim reaper and punishes people for their wrongdoing. This also makes sense because they say that it goes after unfaithful men. So she probably like punished them for their wandering eye. When you find your man cheating, send him to Los Campos in Guatemala or Salvador and be like, have a fun trip, sweetie.
Yeah, fund the trip so La Siwanaba can find them.
I'd be like, you know what, girl? Yes, do your thing. Punish those
men. Kind of on her side. I'm going to be honest here.
Me too, because I feel like she was like forced. I don't know. I feel like there's something missing from this story. How are you going to say no to the son of a god? And like, I kind of feel like she never loved Yesun. I feel like she was almost forced into this relationship.
Right. And we don't know, but we're gonna rewrite the version.
Yes,
this is the new version.
It has a lot of like Medusa vibes. Remember when she was like so beautiful and then she was cursed?
Oh my god, I didn't even think of. Yeah, you're right.
Like, you know, like the same thing. Siwawet, beautiful woman, turns into Siwanaba, the ugly woman, which would also kind of like explain its colonial origin, because at this time they already knew, you know, Spanish already had access to the Medusa story. So
yeah,
and she also has a lot of similarities depending on the version with Llorona stories. The river, like being near water, looking for her son, because that's also another thing, like besides brushing her hair, she's also roaming the countryside looking for her son Cipitio.
And yeah, we'll go into it more in his episode, but he was cursed for life too, for the wrongdoings of his mother. And his curse has something to do with like evading her and tricking her for eternity. And so she can't find him, but it's his purpose to like torment her almost.
That's like weird. That's messed up too. Like, how are you going to curse an innocent party? Like,
yeah,
someone who had nothing to do with it. But we go again to that. Maybe there is some like notion that he wasn't Yesun. Like, I was like, I was calling it Jason. I was like, let's just call it Jason. Like
Jason, honestly. And you know, in El Salvador, a lot of times they take like these American ass names and spell them like that. So like Jason would be Yesun. There's like William. Like, it is straight up a thing. Like, you have like English last names, so that's why Yesun like does remind me of Jason.
I was calling him Jason because I couldn't pronounce it. So Jason,
yeah.
That's his new name, Jason.
Yeah, he's Jason now.
Makes it easier to pronounce. That was a hard name, and then I looked it up too, and all I got was like these Japanese similar sounding names. I was like, no.
Yeah, all these, I'm like looking at them like Spanish, so like I would look at it and just say Yesun.
I had to read it in Spanish. I was like, I can't read this in English. It would be like a tongue twister to read it in English. So I was passing all the names through Spanish because I was like, there's no way I'm gonna be able to correctly say the indigenous version of it because I don't speak Nahuatl or Quiche Maya at all. I know a few words.
I can't even say it.
I know a few words. And in order for me to even say any of the names, I had to practice all week. I was like, this is how you say it. And, you know, it's beautiful for those who know how to speak it. For me, it sounds terrible, like coming out of my mouth.
Same. So I haven't tried. Like, I'll just let you do this.
I'll say the indigenous word.
Yes.
I was talking to my mother the other day, and she's like, the reason why for us it's easier to say Nahuatl words compared to other countries, because if you put a Nahuatl word, how they say it in English, it's so butchered. Like, so incredibly butchered. And a lot of people have trouble pronouncing the TL at the end.
The pl.
And she was like, because I grew up not speaking, what is it called? Castilian Spanish. Español Castellano. I don't speak it. I speak this bastardized version of that is a mixture of both Spanish and Nahuatl. Like I was telling you the other day, I didn't even know armadillo. The Spanish word for armadillo was armadillo. We call it a tlacuachi.
This is why you can say all these names.
Yeah. And I was like last year, and I was like, wait, that's not a Spanish word. I was like, mother, did you know this? She was like, yes, sweetheart. We speak a mixture. And I was like having like a meltdown over like the words like, that is an
existential crisis
over the language that I speak. It's like, what the hell do I speak then? It's not Spanish. It's not Nahuatl. What is it?
Both.
A little mix of both.
Back to La Ciguanaba. So I saw this other version where Yesun, so she wants to get rid of La Ciguanaba, wants to get rid of Yesun because, you know, she doesn't love him. And she's having an affair with El Lucero de la Mañana, which, again, I feel like we mentioned, it's like a Spanish version of this story because he's not a, how do you say it?
Nahuatl.
Woohoo! Nahuatl, yeah. He's not like one of their gods. He's a Spanish god or Christianity, whatever. Lucifer Morningstar, that's who he is. But so because she wanted to give him Yesun's throne, she poisons Yesun at like some party or festival. And then he turns into this giant monster and like kills everybody. Eventually, and he's like a two-headed monster. And then he kills everyone. And they eventually take him down. And this is when Tlaloc, the god.
Tlaloc.
Yeah. This is where he finds out what happens to Yesun, and to avenge Yesun, he curses Ciguewet into Ciguanaba after this happens.
That one was the Guatemalan version, right? I think
it's the...
Or is it the Salvadorian?
Salvadorian.
There's like so many versions of this story. What else? Oh, you... the counter curses.
In most versions of any story from like any of the countries, in order to save themselves, men must bite their cross or a medalla. I think that's like a medal, like a
medallion.
Medallion, yeah. In other versions, they have to pull her hair, and that's going to scare her into running away back into like a ravine, back into the river, back down the cliff.
That's going to work. She'll be like, oh, harder. I'm just
kidding. Yeah. Right. She likes it, actually. What do you mean?
Like all the things that she's gone through in her life, you think a little, hair pulling is going to scare her off.
No.
Like, no.
Whoever wrote this version wanted men to be caught by her.
Let's be honest, yeah. She'll be like, okay.
My absolute favorite way to save yourself from La Ciguanaba is to yell three times. And I'll say what it is in English after. But a man must yell, no te vas a ir, María, pata de gallina. No te vas a ir, María, pata de gallina. No te vas a ir, María, pata de gallina. Which means... you're not leaving, crabgrass, Maria. They have to say it three times.
Like she's going to wait for you to say it. Like, hold on. Let me pause my attack.
Wait, what are you saying? Let me stop.
I can't hear you. Let me just stop and give you time. Like, these are so funny because it's like, I just think of her. She's just like, going for the attack. And then she's like, she sees you taking out your medallion or doing this kind of curse. She's like, let me give this guy a chance. Like,
she just stops when you say these words.
Oh, but I know. She's like, okay, let me give you a chance.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. Like if she's a really scary monster, like a true, like something horrendous, she's not going to wait for you to finish whatever you're saying or doing. She's just going to attack you before you finish. Maybe it's like you have to have a certain amount of distance,
Oh yeah. See her, yell it from 6 feet apart.
Six feet, mouth covered, wearing your mask. Yeah.
Wear your mask and say this three times, 6 feet away from La Ciguanaba.
Yeah, or just tell her you have the Rona. She'll probably just run away.
That's true, yeah.
She'll be like, no, thank you. I'm social distancing correctly.
Yeah. If she can do it, you can too.
You can too, yeah.
Oh, there was another version of the legend where a man must bite a machete to get rid of her. And that just sounds like, I told my mom this version, she was like, that sounds like a recipe for disaster. Like, you're just going to bite this machete and cut yourself.
Exactly. I was like, don't you have to check to make sure you're not going to hurt yourself? Like, hold on, let me find the thick edge.
Yeah.
And who has a, always has a machete or medallion on them at all times.
Right. But back in these times, every Salvadoran had a machete.
Not today, though.
My dad, I think it's his tío, but he had like some mental health issues, but he would like chase him around with a machete. So this is why I'm pretty sure that all Salvadorans had a machete.
You know what's funny?
Your house.
You know what's funny? One Halloween, me and Cynthia, you know Cynthia from, we went trick-or-treating and we're trick-or-treating. I think it was by my house. And this guy dressed as, I want to say like Jason, he comes out with a butcher knife and starts chasing us down the street. I don't know if the butcher knife was real. It looked real. And I wasn't going to stop, be like, let me check this guy's butcher knife.
Let me bite this machete.
Bite this machete. But we ran. It was me, her, and her siblings. We're all like booking it. Like, nope, not today.
While I was researching Nasigonaba, and I found someone, a Salvadoran person, they have like a really big Instagram page. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Dichos de un Bicho.
No.
But they have a blog, and the person like rewrote the story, and they're like, I don't like the whole like misogynistic story behind La Ciguanaba, mm-hmm. so I'm going to rewrite my own version. But in their version, they say that, and this is what their grandma and the mom before that told them instead of the story that we just shared about mm-hmm. La Ciguanaba. But La Ciguanaba is an ancestor, a spirit that is tied to rivers. She was an indigenous woman, and she was wronged by men, and her duty is to protect women and punish the men who wronged them. So instead of like being this vengeful spirit that's out to punish cheaters, she's a spirit of rivers, and she protects the rivers and women.
Oh, I like that so much better. Because Remember I was telling you, it sounded just like the Medusa story because she was raped by Poseidon. And then she was cursed by Athena or whatever. It's, again, like misogyny. But I like that version.
For me, I don't know. La Ciguanaba and a bunch of other, like La Llorona, I think she falls into this category too. But it's like this belief that women cannot be trusted, right? Because she tricks little kids into thinking it's a mom or their mom. She tricks, like, sometimes there's another version of the story where men see their wives or girlfriends, and then she turns out to be this not the wife or girlfriend, but La Ciguanaba. So it's like women can't be trusted, even though a man was also involved in her cheating on Yesun, right? She was punished for it. So yeah, women are like to be feared, and women are vengeful is what I'm hearing here when I listen to this and like La Llorona and all these other stories.
It's typical Latin America, though. We're like, I love our culture, but our culture is very machista.
Yeah.
Very men only. It's terrible. I mean, it still happens. Look at all the femicides that are going on.
Yes. Yeah.
Still, I'm like, dude, you have life because of a woman.
Exactly.
You have daughters, you have sisters. Like, how on earth can you still believe such an archaic way of thinking?
Yeah, and this is why I'm on her side.
I know. And on top of that, she punishes men who are just shitty people. What's not to like? I, as a woman, right. I have nothing to fear from her.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, if you hear the version that she doesn't like lure your children away, right? Just mm-hmm. the men, then I'm like all for it. Yes, Ciguanaba, you need help?
You need help? Can we set up a hotline where girls can contact you? Can you expand your business to the United States asking for a friend?
can you travel too? Because La Llorona apparently travels. There was like sightings of her in like Texas. So.
Shut up.
Yes, I saw some. I haven't researched her because I think we should do an episode on her too, because why not?
Yeah, that's why, like, I heard a retelling again on these, like, podcasters who are not Latinos retelling the story of the Llorona. And I was like, I have heard so many versions of this. Like, why are you just sharing this one saying you did the research? But
I feel like you should share more. Like, we've already shared like three versions of La Ciguanaba.
Yes.
Right.
And they only ever share like this one version where it demonizes the woman. And I'm like, you know what? If my kids were like killed or whatever, and I was the one left, I'd be haunting everybody too. I'd be pissed.
I'd be going after these men too.
I'd be like, you know what? No, you're not safe.
Yeah, no one is safe.
No one is safe. As a mom, I could totally be like, you know what? If my kids ever, like something like that ever happened, I'm haunting everybody I see. You're getting
Watch
haunted.
Out.
You're getting haunted. You.
Your you, grandma, you, and you.
Your children.
Everybody that passes by this river.
You're getting haunted. Your little doggy. No, I'm just kidding. Not the doggy.
Not the dog.
It just sucks that a lot of these stories that are about women, they're always evil. And also one thing that sucks too is that a lot of these like stories, the original story has been lost to history because of the Catholic priests that would burn these books, or, you know, that would like completely force the indigenous community to change their views. So what the, you know, the original story that it came from, we may never know.
That's true. We will. Yeah. And then even then, years and years and years later, it's they all get meshed together with their version of the story. Like in this, we see Lucero de la Mañana come in. And that's not a
Nahuatl.
Yes. Thing. That's a like Christian very Spanish
Christian. Colonialized story. Oh, I heard, too, that the origins of the story was that colonizers, conquistadores, whatever, would use this story, you know, have these Nahuatl characters or indigenous characters as a way to scare the indigenous population from like going out at night.
Wow.
Like,
yeah,
like
a method of control.
So I can't remember which website, but I read that somewhere that they think, because, you know, like, as we were saying, it has a lot of colonial influences in here. And they were like, it was probably a way to control the people. You know, you put some of their religion in it and you tell them, oh, like, this is what happens, this. And it's also weird, too, that she has a horse's face, because horses are not indigenous to the Americas. They were brought over by the Spanish.
Okay. Yeah.
So, that makes sense. There was prehistoric horses, but at this point in time, like, you know, and what the, there was no horses native to the Americas. Like, they were brought over. The horses that we, you know, we think, like, when we see cowboys were brought over by Europeans. So it's also weird that she has a horse's face. I didn't see any stories of modern day sightings. Did you find any? I didn't find any.
No, I tried to search about sightings and just the story, but trying to search about La Ciguanaba, it just kept bringing stuff up about La Llorona.
Yeah.
And these are two different things. They're not the same.
Yeah, they have similar, you know, things within them, but yeah, I think they're totally different.
Like the only part of Mexico that she has her story in is the part that's close to Guatemala.
Yeah.
Nowhere else in Mexico do they like even acknowledge, like know who she is really.
No.
Because my mom had no idea and she's from Jalisco.
Yeah, that's like in the central part kind of. So yeah, this is more like I mean, I know it has like Nahuatl origins, but like the areas that it does, you know, exist very commonly, it has a very Mayan population, like, you know,
El Salvador is a mix of, well, there's more, but there's a lot of Nahuatl.
Yeah, Nahuatl and
Mayan. Yeah, and Mayan communities. And the story kind of intermingles both, I want to say. I think that's everything on La Ciguanaba, to be honest. I mean, like, everything in this short amount of time that we could discuss.
Yeah. What stories did your dad have that you were talking about? Was it about El Cipitillo?
Yeah, yeah, oh, more about him. I asked him about La Ciguanaba, and he was like, I mean, what's there to say? Everybody knows who she is. We all know someone who's seen her. I'm like, well, that's what I want to know. And he's like, that's it. That's all I have. I'm
like, it's like a cousin of a cousin of a cousin of a friend. Yeah. Always like that. Like nobody ever has. I would have like ran for the hills though. I would have, you know, if it's late at night, especially in like, you know, a lot of these campos, it's dark. It's like pitch black, you guys. It's scary. I would have been like, oh, look at a naked woman in the middle of the road. Like, no, thank you.
Again, if I was walking in the middle of the street and like nobody else was there and I was by a river and there was somebody over there brushing their hair naked, I'd be like, why are you out? I'm gonna go. But these men with wandering eyes can't
help.
They can't say no. Yeah, they can't.
They need the they need the groupie system. You know, like girls, when we go somewhere together, it's like, oh, let's go to the bathroom. The whole group is going, the whole posse. Men, these men need to do these too whenever they're out in the campos.
Yeah, yeah.
Like take your
My child is waking up.
Okay.
We can wrap this up, I think. Thanks for listening, everyone. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Spooky Tales. Next episode, we're going to talk about La Ciguanaba's son, El Cipitillo. Or my dad says Cipitillo. I don't know.
Cipitillo. I don't know. Is it a... I don't know how to say it. I've heard El Cipitillo. That's about it.
That's how I read it when I'm looking at it. But yeah, he kept saying El Cipitillo the whole time. So
he's probably saying it right.
Yeah. And I'm probably saying it wrong.
Me too.
He's from Los Alamos.
Yeah, so he's probably saying it right. We're the ones in the wrong who can't pronounce anything. Sorry.
Yeah. This was fun.
Yes. I can't wait to freak myself out like later this week as I research.
All right. Bye.
Bye.